Welcome back, Create Your Own Myth, Episode 2. I am Nicole Washington.
I'm Agnita Baudu.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
I'm still here. How are you? How are you?
I am doing, I'm also still here. I am really tired because I did not get a lot of sleep last night. I was telling you that I've been trying all of these delicious, healthy recipes, and I haven't been eating a lot of meat. And so the issue is that I'm eating so many carbs, and not even just like, oh, I'm only eating bread, but it's like things you don't think about. It's like, I'm eating like lots of beans and lentils and like bread with that. And they're all healthy carbs, but I think I don't do well with too many carbs because I'm really sensitive when it comes to sleep.
Okay.
And I think it's keeping me up. And so I'm going to try at least not to eat carbs for dinner.
Word. So what's for dinner tonight?
I don't know, burgers.
Word.
Yeah, without a bun.
That's awesome.
I think I actually am gonna have some carbs though, because I'm gonna have sweet potatoes with it.
Oh, word. Like sweet potato fries or something.
Yeah, which I think is fine.
Well, sweet potato is also starch, so there's more like healthy nutrients in there than like regular fries.
Yeah,
I think that's a good meal. That sounds good. I might eat a burger too.
Hey, burger.
Yes, depends.
And that's how it be too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about transformation and wisdom that comes with transformation. I feel like I go through a transformation like every other week, but I just went through one that was particularly significant, and I wanted to share that, and maybe you have insights or your own transformation stories that you want to talk about.
Word.
So basically, it's wild because it all started with the new moon. The last new moon that we had, one, I got my period exactly on the new moon. Two, Nick, my husband, went out of town. He went to Zimbabwe because he's doing like a hip hop exchange over there. And that initiated me into this transformation where the goal was for me to face my fears, which are rooted in old deep trauma, on my own so that I could cultivate a sense of safety within myself.
Okay.
And it's so interesting because that's something that I wrote on my manifestation list a couple weeks ago, is that I wanted to cultivate a sense of safety within myself. And now on the other side of it, I feel like I have that. Oh, and it's so interesting because last week we also talked about the cocoon that I found on this rock that I painted, and the moth hatched, or what do you call it? It's not hatched. I don't know. It just emerged.
Yeah, that's a better word for sure. I'm trying to remember, like, because they had us do those in like middle school or something, and they had like a word for it where the caterpillar cocooned itself and then became a butterfly.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact word for the stage. I know the cocoon is chrysalis.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a chrysalis when it's a moth. I think it's
word.
It starts
okay.
with a P. I forgot what the word is. But with a moth, it's a bit different. It looks pretty much
almost
the same,
except
it's brown.
Yeah.
The butterfly has a green chrysalis, and the brown has a, or the moth has a brown cocoon.
Word.
Anyways, I say all that to say that all of nature's forces collided to be like, girl, you about to go through this transformation. So, so it started off with, you know, every time Nick leaves, I get anxiety when he's out of town for a long period of time. And this time he is out of town for like 18 days, which is, I think, the longest we've been away from each other since we've been together. And we've been together 14 years. And the reason why I feel like that is because when I met Nick was like kind of the start of my deep healing journey.
Okay.
And so I feel like when I met him, I felt this sense of safety that I hadn't felt ever. Mm-hmm. And so then it opened up all of this stuff in me. And so I started to do all of this healing through talk therapy, through Qigong, through acupuncture. And I think my body and my mind and my spirit associate him as like stability and safety. Mm-hmm. And so when he's gone, it feels like, oh my God, I don't have anybody. I'm alone. And I start to get anxiety and I flail. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working on this for a really long time. And so this time, you know, he left and I was planning on it for a really long time. I had been talking to my therapist about it. And the first lesson that came up for me was really leaning on my friends. Because what I realized is that when you are in partnership, especially when you've been in partnership for a really long time, you get so used to leaning on your partner for all of the intimate issues.
So true. So true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you only hang out with your friends when like you're feeling good, or maybe you might call your friends to like vent. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. like you, at least for me, I wasn't calling my friends when I was like really down in the dumps, when I'm like in the middle of tears, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And a part of me forgot how to be that vulnerable with my friends, and like in a very deeply vulnerable way. And so you know, when Nick wasn't around, the other thing is that we're on different time zones. And so, like, if I'm having a difficulty late at night, I can't call him because he's sleeping.
Right.
And so, you know, it really was helpful for me. Like, even that day I called you and mm-hmm. I was like, can we meet at First Village, you know? Mm-hmm. And a part of me, it's like, it's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
But like a part of me, it was like hard for me to do that.
It took a lot out of you.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, I don't want her to be burdened. I don't want her to feel like, oh, she has to be here at this time.
I can relate so hard.
Really?
So hard.
Right?
Yes.
And like,
you are not alone in that thought.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Thank you. And is there something that you want to share right there?
No, I want you to finish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so I really had to like overcome that. And then also I had called up Scarlett and like told her like, oh, like, can we have a hang? Because I'm having a really difficult time. I remember there was one night where I started to have an anxiety attack and it wasn't like full blown anxiety attack. I could just feel it bubbling up. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I knew, I was like, I have to call somebody or at least text somebody to remind myself in this moment that I'm not alone. So I sent my friend Fatuma a text mm-hmm. and I was just like, I'm okay. I just am reaching out because I'm feeling some anxiety to remind myself I'm not alone. If it starts to get worse, I'll call. And she texted me back right away and was like, you are not alone. I'm here to support you, whatever you need. And just like those things of like going to my friends when I just need, you know, in the middle of despair.
Exactly. Yeah. Like in that moment.
Exactly.
And not like waiting for the moment to pass and then calling them.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Which is what I usually do. I wait for the moment to pass and then I talk about it like, girl, I can't believe I went through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And even like I called my sister one morning, like in tears, like, and I haven't been in tears like that in a really long time. And I think I just like also just needed to release.
Like let it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then it was so nice because then after that, like, all of you guys were, like, checking up on me or just, like, contacting me. And that felt really nice. And that made me recognize that I'm not alone. So that was, like, a part of the lesson of, like, mm-hmm. okay, yes, this is something for you to face on your own. But not, like, alone.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, you just hit that nail.
Yeah, and that's
right,
like there's a difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yes, we all have these internal waters that we have to wade through mm-hmm. and find our way around. And that is a very like solo
intimate process.
Yes.
Yes.
But you it's really important to have people and not be alone.
Yes.
Because you need people to remind you that you're not crazy.
Of course. Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
And that, like...
Also, just the way Fatuma did it, like, just, I'm here. That's mm-hmm. it. Like, you didn't... It's crazy that you said, like, I don't want to be a burden, because the number of times I've thought that with, like, other friends that I've had, and the number of times I haven't felt safe to go to them, do you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, coming up here and having the community and just making friends that are women that don't take the situation to the point where they're like, oh my god, there's something wrong with you, and they're more like, okay, I'm let me sit with you with these emotions, and let me let you need to feel them, so feel them, but you're not alone in feeling them.
Oh my goodness. So, that is, I love that you made that point of, like, we're not gonna, like, blow this out of proportion, like, oh my god, what's wrong with you, we need to do this. It's like, no, I'm gonna be with you as a support, an anchor, while you know,
you figure this out.
Or you're
letting you know there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's the most important part, especially for women like us, where it's like, oh my god, I need to do everything on my own, or my partner has to be everything for me. And, like, being as long as we have with these stabling men, these grounding men, right? It's beautiful, but also expecting them to be everything is not fair either.
Facts.
You know? And it's not our fault, though, right? Because we grew up seeing these, like, images, whether it's in movies, whether it's with our parents, of, like, women who make these, like, partners out to be everything to them.
That's so true.
But they don't have to be.
Oh my goodness, that is so true. I didn't even think about that, how often you see in film and media, and it's changing now, but, like, when we were growing up, it's like, you see, like, oh, the core family is it. And when I say core family, it's like
your siblings, your mom, household. Dad, grandma, like, and it's like, that's not the case, right? Like, your core family are people who basically metaphorically hold your hand through the rough moments, but they don't ever throw it in your face later, and they don't ever make you feel like there's something wrong with you because you felt it. And finding those people is such a blessing.
It is.
It's such a blessing. And, like, I can relate to you in so many ways, because, again, I've been with Alejandro for quite a while, and, like, expecting him to be everything is not fair.
It's not.
But when I started actually seeing my friends as people who could understand and listen, and listening to me, I realized it wasn't a burden. It's just part of our friendship.
Yeah.
I felt so much more at ease actually coming out with things.
Right?
It takes time, though.
Like, it does.
I've started embracing this idea of slow friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to get to know everything about this person in 3 months.
Yeah.
You can get to know this person over a span of, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's important to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we put so much value on friendships that we've had, like, as kids, whereas I think we need to put more value on friends we've made as adults.
Oh my goodness. So true. Because when you're an adult, you know yourself better. Mm-hmm. You have evolved to a certain point where, you know, you just know what you want. And when I think we talked about this last time, when you're young, you find, you know, you're friends with the people that you went to school with.
Yeah, like people who are close to you.
Exactly.
You know, whether that's proximity, whether that's family, whether that's, like, in class even, you know, like, this is the person I was in first grade with. That's why I'm friends with them for so long.
Exactly.
So,
and that can, you know, I'm very lucky that I have a couple of friends who I've been friends with for that long, but the friends that I've made as adults that are, like, intentional, like, when you meet people, it's like, oh, I see you.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah, and I feel that.
Yes, yeah, it's so beautiful. And, it's, you know, another thing that's really important and really beautiful is, I was like, you know, all of you guys, like, you and Scarlett are, like, in my neighborhood. Like, we, you know, we live within, like, 15-20 minutes of each other. And so that's, like, a different kind of community as well.
Of course.
And, like, that has been really beautiful, because it's so funny, like, when I lived in the city, I didn't really know my neighbors like that. Like,
me either.
I didn't really, you know, the, like, my friend, me it's either. I honestly, like, even my friends, when we were all living in the city, I feel like we didn't, we weren't intentional about making time for each other the way that I do with my friendships now.
Agreed.
And I think a part of that just like I'm older and like we understand the value of that in a different way.
Yeah.
But I really understood the importance of community that you live close to during this transformation period, because I could call any one of you guys and be like, can we be with each other in person? Being with people in person is like so important, because that's another thing. Like, you know, Nick being gone, I'm like, oh, I miss being held. I miss having hugs. I miss this. I just miss like being in his presence. And of course, I'm always going to get that from my man, but you can also have that with your friends in a different way, obviously.
Of course, right.
But just like being close with your
friends. Yeah, even just sitting next to them and having a conversation. Like, I've recently learned that friendships shouldn't drain you. They should fill your cup. Like, you should fill each other's cup, but in the way that you're meant to. Like, there are certain things that, you know, you have insight on, and then there are certain things that Scarlett has insight on, and there are certain things that I have insight, but there's different insight, right? Like, it's not like each of us will come to the table with the same like info.
Yeah.
Like, we all have different perspectives, which is what is beautiful, because we're actually willing to use our perspectives instead of hiding them and only picking and choosing what we want the world to see.
And that is the key, I feel like, to like fulfilling friendships, where you can let your friends in on the good and the bad and everything in between, and not just be like, oh, everything's fine, everything's great. Because it's like, that is, first of all, not reality.
No, not at all.
And also, then it's like, we can't really have a deep, intimate, authentic connection if everything is just surface level, you know?
So true.
Yeah.
So true. Like, I grew up in a household where my parents insisted on making it seem like everything was fine to the outside world, right? Like, and I have no complaints. You know, that's how they did it, and that's, you know, I will respect them forever. But it created this idea in me that I had to show that to my friends.
Yeah.
Everything is great. And also, my partner also comes from that kind of a world where if you don't show people you're great, then you accepting the help, whether it's emotional help, whether it's any kind of help, you're weak.
Yeah.
And that idea has come down. Like, I believe that's generational trauma, honestly. Yeah. That's not a healthy way to live.
No.
Because if you truly believe that people are going to believe you when you say everything is good all the time, then you're delusional.
Yeah.
Because there's no way as a human being life is great all the time.
That does, yes. And that's something that I'm so glad that I have come to learn as an adult. I posted something the other day and I was like, you know, happiness is not a destination. It's just one of many experiences.
Yes, I like
and
that post.
And when I was younger, I used to feel like I need to be happy. I need to be, you know, feeling good. And I was not a happy young kid. I was actually a pretty depressed young kid. And I used to feel like something was wrong with me all of the time. And I didn't have anybody to tell me, like, those emotions are okay. Like, it's to relate that back to the experience that I'm going through now, or that I just went through. Something that was very helpful was to identify how I was feeling. And, you know, sometimes it would be like, yo, being alone is bringing up some really old childhood trauma that is really difficult right now. But sometimes it would be like, I'm just really sad because I miss Nick and I feel a little bit lonely. And just identifying that allowed it to pass and allowed me to feel like, oh yeah, like I have a little bit of sadness, but it's okay. And I used to feel like if I feel some sadness coming on, I would feel like, oh my God, I'm getting depressed. What's wrong with me? Aww. What's going on? I have to do something. I have to fix. I have to fix. And a part of that, I think, is my moon in Virgo. My moon in Virgo really likes to have procedures set up. So like for my healing, like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
This is happening next.
Yeah. And so, Like, even when I have an anxiety attack, I'm like, okay, so first you're going to do this, then you're going to take a shower, then you're going to do this. You're, like,
controlling the attack.
Yeah. And if for something, for some reason, like, say, like, the shower's not working, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to be in place of the shower? And so I am working on just, like, being like, okay, let me just take a minute and feel how I feel and let that be okay. Oh, that's, you know,
so smart.
And it's, yeah,
that's also a really beautiful thing, like, to being able to sit with, like, those emotions and then allowing them to pass, but then also allowing to feel them.
It is really beautiful. Yeah. You know, that is something that I've learned, that this whole process has been very difficult but very beautiful. It is so beautiful to be able to feel in full capacity.
Yes.
Like, it is, I feel like that is what we're here for as humans, to be able to have the human experience.
Agreed.
To feel your full rage, to feel your full deep sadness,
like,
to
everything,
feel, yes,
on all spectrums.
Yes, yes, the highest joys, like, all of it.
And the lowest of the lows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so that was one of the lessons. And then another thing that I thought about, that I also put in a post, I think yesterday, is I was like, oh, I said, I wrote down, allow your deepest of emotions to break you so that you can become something new. And what I meant by that was, I feel like sometimes when we have some deep, hard emotions, whether it be sadness or anger or fear, we there's something in us that's, like, resisting, like, oh, like, it's just so hard, it hurts so much, and we're really resisting it. And it takes time. It's not something where it can just happen overnight, because this has been, like, a really long process for me. But this past week, my deepest, most difficult emotions, I was able to just let them break me, really, and just, like, open me up and just feel them and know that I'm not going to be swallowed by them, but I'm going to be transformed by them.
Yes.
That this is actually the transformation process. And it's almost like floating. It's like floating with maybe a stomach ache or something. You know what I mean?
Right, like with the pain.
Yeah.
Like whatever emotion or pain you feel, you're floating, but you're embracing it.
Yes.
To understand it, but also to get to the other side.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so nice.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you. And it was hard in the moment, but it's so beautiful on the other side.
Yes.
And then the last thing was, the lesson that came up is really being still and getting quiet, because my guides are talking to me, and it's, like, so subtle. It's little things that are, like, my intuition. And I think before I would have just thought, like, oh, that's just, like, a thought, but no, that is a download. That is something that has come to me from the divine, from my guides. And when you start to learn to trust those, you are led.
So true.
Right? And so I feel true. Like, but it's so subtle. It's,
you have to be intentional about it.
You have to be intentional and quiet.
Yes.
Quiet enough. And it's like, it's not like I spend all my days just being quiet, but I do spend more quiet time with myself.
Yeah.
And, like, and that's something that's brand new, because before I was not able to spend as much quiet time with myself, because when I did spend quiet time with myself, what was coming up? Those emotions. And then I didn't like the feeling of it. And so I would get up and do this or get up and do that. And so now,
so you'd stop it and you just push it back down, essentially.
Yeah, I would push it back down, or I would feel like I have to do something, like, oh, I got to shake it out. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just got to sit and
feel.
Like, a lot of different emotions will come up. Maybe I'll be sad and that'll float away, and then I'll start to feel happiness and that'll float away. But then there's a space where it starts to get just clear.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, it did. And it's in those moments where I can, like, channel something. I started a tarot practice. And
nice.
So every morning I will get up and I'll do a tarot reading. And, like, I'm still learning the tarot. So I have this book and I'll, like, look up what each card means. And then after I know what the cards mean, I'll get quiet and I'll channel it. I'll be like, okay, what's the fuller story here? Like, yes, this card means this, this card means that. But like, okay, now that I have all of this information, let me see if a download comes to like integrate that into where I'm at in this moment.
Nice.
And that, I think, for me is also like a practice on channeling. And that has been something really beautiful because I feel like I'm deepening my spiritual practice. So I feel like I'm on the other side of this. Like I feel safety within my body. Like I am like able to get up in the middle of the night when I'm home by myself and feel not scared, which is something that was not true for me.
Yay!
And it's amazing because it's just all of a sudden happened and there's this like quiet feeling in my body. But now so for like a couple of days I was like on high. I was like, oh my God, I feel so beautiful. Like I'm like the other day this moth landed on me and it was so great. But then now for the last couple of days it's been difficult finding sleep. Mm-hmm. And so there's a new challenge, but I'm just like, I'm still okay. I'm like, you know, I have this newfound safety. Mm-hmm. So now how can I deal with this new challenge with this newfound safety? Because as we said, happiness is not a destination. So it's not like you're always going to be feeling great. Even when you're on the other side of a breakthrough,
so true.
Challenges are still going to come.
So true. Like, by the way, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
That sounds so awesome. But I think you feeling the happiness and then feeling worry is part of like the process, right? Mm-hmm. Like each transformation is going to have highs and lows. And I think when you feel those things, I honestly think it's working. Do you know what I mean? Like all of the things that you said, your guides, everything, like they're working.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, the lesson for me has been like, because what it used to be is I would feel really high. Mm-hmm. And then feel really low. And it used to feel so much, so extreme. And I used to not be able to find a middle ground. And now I've been able to like that the move through the different emotions mm-hmm. is much more gradual or subtle or something. It doesn't feel so extreme. And then sometimes I'm having a bad day and it is extreme. And then I'm able to slowly find my way back to even.
That's really beautiful. That's important. Yeah. Like, it's important to be able to feel and then come back to yourself, because that's something I've definitely struggled with over the last decade. Mm. And one of my main low emotions is anger. Like, I'll get so angry and I'm just like, why am I so angry? Like, am I hungry? Is there something else? There's something. And finding the root of my anger to be able to express it in a non-angry way has been my learning curve in my bad. Because like, I think I told you this. As a teenager, I spent a lot of time alone.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of like the sadness or the frustration, like I was able to work through it by myself. Whether that was good, right, or wrong, I don't know. Because again, my brain was still developing.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that, oh, you know, like I figured it all out as a teenager. No, I did not.
Right.
But I did spend a lot of time by myself, which did help regulate myself over time. Not because I knew how, but because the time just almost numbed it, if that makes sense. Like the amount of time I was alone, it was like by the time I was around my parents or by the time they got home, I was just like, all right, I'm not going to think about it anymore. It's done. But that built up.
Right. Yeah.
And that built up. And I remember finishing grad school and just thinking like, I'm so annoyed. Like I got to get into this hustle. Like I got, and you know, one thing led to another and I got out of the hustle. Cause I was like, I'm not here for the hustle, but I started taking charge of my time. And I started to understand that if I'm going to learn why I get so angry, I need to learn more about myself.
Yeah.
And one thing I do is when I do get angry, I'll sit with myself and I'll be like, I will be fuming. And I will literally sit down and say, okay, we're going to count to 10 and then we're going to write down why you're fuming. Right? And like, but then after I count to 10 and I write down why I'm initially fuming, I'll count to 40 and I'll write down what I think of after. So do you know what I mean? Like, is it the initial?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to basically figure out,
am I good, right?
Like, I thought that was a good exercise.
You taking it deeper, like another layer, because there's emotions always are kind of like multifaceted in that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's like normally, like we had spoken about this before once, but like anger happens because you feel like there's injustice happening to you mm-hmm. or to someone you love or something you love. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, it's like, okay, how am I going to understand why I'm angry? Mm-hmm. Right? So the first 10 seconds are going to be the initial moment that happened to piss you off. But then the next minute is going to be, okay, I've counted down to my 10. I've written down why I'm angry. Now I'm going to take another 40 seconds and I'm going to count. And then I'm going to write down why I'm angry again. Mm. And if the same thing comes up, then I know that it was that thing that made right. me angry. But if something different comes up, then I know, okay, this happened because this happened. So I'm going to take a step back and I'm not going to allow myself to worry about the first thing. I'm going to dig deeper and find the second thing.
Oh my gosh, that's so brilliant.
And it's taken me, I want to say at least like 12 years to figure this out.
Yeah.
Because I was an angry kid. I mean, you can ask my mom and dad, you can ask my partner. I was angry a lot. You know, I just felt like everything was making me angry. So like it took time to be able to understand why I was angry. And when I understood that, and when I realized I'm the only person who can take care of me, which took time, by the way,
yeah.
this is not something that happens overnight.
No.
I realized that I need to set up a process for myself to deduce why I'm angry.
Yes.
Because it's a very big emotion in my life. And if everyone looks at it like, oh, women getting angry, it's a bad thing. So then I was like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me.
Mm.
Like there's something wrong with me, so I can't be fixed.
Yeah.
But then I understood that women get angry. And
hell yeah.
And we're allowed to be able to understand
for
why.
So many reasons that we rightfully should be angry about.
Honestly. Like, y'all better watch out.
I was actually thinking, you know, I know it was probably really hard for you, but I think it's so amazing that you were angry as a child, or at least that was emotion that you were comfortable expressing, because that anger was so suppressed within me. I actually wasn't allowed really to
get angry.
No.
I can. So when you did you ever get like fully angry as a child though? Like, was there? Can you remember a moment? You don't have to tell me the moment. I'm just curious if you actually got to that point. As a child.
I don't think so because, okay. You know, my mom was married to somebody who was really scary
yeah.
and abusive. And so to be angry was actually dangerous, you know?
Okay. So your nervous system was like, we're not going to feel that emotion.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, we are not safe to feel angry.
Okay.
And you know, my journey has been to identify when I'm angry, because what I would do is I would just turn it into sadness.
Mm-hmm.
My anger mm-hmm. would turn into sadness, and then I would also turn it on myself. And so a part of my process in therapy was like, you know, sometimes you're angry with people and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Like it's okay to be angry with people. It's not the end of the world. You know,
exactly.
Sometimes you're angry with people and you need to tell them.
Yep.
And I think, because I saw so many unhealthy examples of anger when I was young,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I felt like that's what I had to be mm-hmm. to be angry.
Or you didn't want to be like that, so you didn't want to feel the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I realized like, oh, I can feel anger and process that and then go back and confront that person
yes.
in a more calm manner.
Yes.
It doesn't always have to be a fight just because I'm angry in
exactly.
that moment.
Exactly. Like that person, if they're making you angry, you have every right to take a moment or an hour or a day
yeah.
and figure out how you want to respond. They don't get to determine when you respond after
yep.
they made you angry.
Yep.
But I was going to say, I think it's beautiful that you found safety in Nick to be able to get angry.
Mm.
I think that's really nice.
I'm just saying. Nice and funny.
Yeah. but still, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
though?
Yeah,
it's just,
of course.
The comfort level is a beautiful thing, and I'm
yeah.
happy that you guys have that.
Yeah.
Because that's something I didn't have with my family. Like, I also was told, you know, if you show anger, you're weak. Or if you show anger, like, you're a woman of color, like, they're going to think you're crazy.
Mm.
So there was a lot of, like, I'm not going to show anger. A lot of it built up to the point of, that's why I think it got so bad when I left home and I was in college and whatnot. that I was just so angry. Like, I was so angry. So I do think that it takes time to understand your anger.
Yeah.
But you should not be ashamed of it.
No.
Because it's there for a reason, and you need to find out why.
I also feel like it's really great to find, like, quote-unquote unhinged ways to express your anger. Mm-hmm. So whether that be, like, I'm going to go somewhere and scream.
Yes.
I'm going to, like, fucking pound my feet and my fist and have a full-on tantrum right now.
Do it.
Or I'm going to, you know, they have those things where you can go and, like, break.
Rage rooms.
Yeah, rage rooms,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, especially if you're a woman, like, get that shit out. And, yes, you know, however you identify, because I think just in culture in general, in all cultures, we have only been taught unhealthy ways of expressing anger.
So true.
And it's always like, we're gonna like throw it at somebody, mm-hmm, else.
As if someone else has to absorb it. When, yeah, in reality, you can throw it into the universe and let the, yep, universe absorb it.
Yes. Yes.
That is so true. I can relate on so many levels, because I do feel like I grew up where it was like, oh, someone had to see you get angry for it to be valid. But that's not true. You're allowed to get angry in private, and you're allowed to be in yourself in private and be angry. Yep. That's okay.
Yep.
Which is, you know, I don't think it's a good thing to, I think it's worse if you let the anger fester than if you let it out.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I think you're slowly killing yourself if you let the anger fester.
Yeah.
And this is a fact. After I've learned to manage my anger, when I go do blood work, it's much healthier than when before I didn't know how to manage it. And it was just inside, just like all over the place. Like, I will say that understanding my anger has made me nicer to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
It's a lot, but I also think when you're willing to embrace it, it becomes something a lot bigger than you.
Right. Because when we heal ourselves, or when we let out this energy that's festering in us,
mm-hmm,
it's helpful for the entire universe. Because if you think of this whole universe as like a body, an, mm-hmm, organism,
mm-hmm, oh,
anything that is suppressed is making everything around it unhealthy.
Of course.
So
true.
You know, because I was even thinking, like, I don't know if this is related or not, it's kind of related, but like sometimes I'll be on social media and I'll be like scrolling and something will come up and it'll be like somebody in a fight, and I'll see something really violent,
right,
that like I did not intend to see
or want to see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have like a physical reaction,
like a visceral reaction.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, mm-hmm, I'm just like, oh my goodness, like that is not something that I was ready for, prepared for. And to me, that's just like a great example of how like we all affect each other. And even if we're not in the same immediate vicinity,
mm-hmm,
your energy is affecting.
You're still pushing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah. I so agree with you. There's so many times where I've like just stopped scrolling because I don't whatever I just had seen in that moment was like, no, that's not happening. I can't. It's unhealthy because I can't seem to sit with it, but it's also like, I was scrolling to see like a dress or like to see,
right,
something different. But then you see something so violent, yeah, and I'm just like, I didn't expect to see that, and I don't want to see it again.
Exactly.
So like I just stop. And this one thing I do think that has happened over the years, like being in the American school system and being a part of the American media system, we've become almost like, I want to say immune to some feelings, because they've made it seem like it's bad to feel them.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, oh, if you feel them, just watch this instead.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that's one issue I'm actually having with like the elder people in my family, where it's like, instead of feeling the negative emotions, they just like watch a movie or watch a video and move on. And,
yeah,
it's like, you're not moving on. It's still there. So unless you sit there and feel it, you're not going to get anywhere.
And because at some point you have to address what is within you.
Oh my God.
You have to.
So
true.
You
have to address what is within you. And, you know, I just remind myself, I'm so thankful that I'm growing up in a time Well, I'm grown. I'm not growing up, but I'm grown.
You are growing up. And we change every time.
That's true.
Every year, we're like a different person. I remember one time my cousin went to college and she got off the bus that day and I picked her up. She goes, I'm like a totally different person now. Like, I'm so different. I mean, I'm not even like, you wouldn't even recognize. I'm like, girl, you look the same, but that's cool. But what the way she was saying it was like, it's so like the world that she stepped into has changed her already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful, but it was just listening to her speak was hilarious.
Funny, yeah. Yeah.
And I love you. You know who you are. But like, it's just you're like even just moments will change you. Even just like you said, hanging out with your friend for like an hour or two, it changes you.
Yeah.
Like you feel like, okay, I can tell this person this, and they can tell me this, and it's like, okay, I'm still here. And you know, I'm grateful for all of the friends that I have that are like that.
Yeah, and that's also why I think it is so important to be intentional about where you spend your time and attention.
Oh, so true.
Because like going back to the whole scrolling thing, it's like, you know, it really can help to be intentional about who you follow.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even have to be something like, it doesn't have to be that deep of like, oh, if I don't follow you, I hate you.
Oh yeah.
It can just be like, I am at this place in my life. And so this is what I need to see to help my nervous system to help. It's kind of like, you know, I feel like for the last, really this whole summer, I haven't really been going out that much.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone to the city that much.
Mm-hmm.
I've been spending a lot of time just in nature. And like, I'll see people, like if I go to the coffee shop or maybe I'll see you. But like, I haven't been spending a lot of time with people. And that has been necessary. It has been necessary for me to strengthen my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to strengthen my intuition is if I spend more time with myself, because if I'm around lots of other people, I'm getting all of their stuff. And it might not even be bad stuff. It could be like, oh, you're sending me good vibes, all of this and all of that. But right now it's time for me to strengthen my own intuition so that I can be really clear on what is for me.
Yes.
And so I think it is important to be really intentional. And I feel like, you know, there is a lot going on in the world.
So much.
And you can be intentional with the way that you react and consume that. Like,
so true.
You know, if you think about it, like if you are going to be, if you are going to bring your highest self to a situation where you can be the most effective, then I believe it's best to do that from an intentional place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know something is going on, then think about like, okay, what are some outlets or some resources that I trust where I can get information so that I can make a clear plan or idea of how I want to react to that information.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Instead of it all of a sudden hitting me.
And you're scrambling.
Yeah. And then I just become paralyzed because I'm like, oh my God, I feel so overstimulated. When
preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the overstimulation had been a problem for so long, and it still is for me.
Yeah.
And I totally can relate on the level of like even with, you know, understanding my anger, like it's a process.
Yeah.
And the fact that like, you know, society essentially expects you to figure it out once you just leave home, like figure this out.
Right?
Like you got this. And it's just like, no, I don't. I don't need you to tell me I got this when I clearly at this moment I don't. And that's the
at
other
18, they expect you to be just like, oh,
perfect. And did you
go
know
out and do it?
Your brain isn't even fully developed until you're 23.
Mm.
That's insane to me that they make you make decisions at 18 and your brain isn't even fully developed until you're 23.
That's so crazy. And then when you're 23, you still need some help.
No, honestly, I feel like in this time, you need help all throughout your life.
Yeah.
Because there is not, like back in the day, there was like a playbook because people were like, oh, like the nuclear family and like you do this, you have this job, 9 to 5, all that stuff. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And young people need to know that you can go any route.
Yeah.
And still not be happy or be super happy.
Yep.
But happiness isn't the goal. It's about understanding that you control your time.
Yeah.
Not the government, not your job, not your family. You do.
Yep.
And like getting to that point takes the transformations that you've been describing.
Yes. And you know, that is so interesting because I feel like I'm just talking about American society mm-hmm. in, you know, the U.S. I'm thinking how there's like all kinds of gun violence mm-hmm. and there's a lot of mental health issues. And you would think that our society would be like, okay, we need to restructure how we're going about doing things mm-hmm. because there's a lot of people that are suffering. And so people need more time.
Yes.
People yes. need more time. Yes, I feel they like they're, you know, you turn 18 and then it's like the pressure is on. It's just like, okay, where are you going to work? What are you going to do for the rest of your life? Do. And especially if you don't come from a family that has a lot of resources. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so there's all of this pressure. And if you are suffering in any way, that's really difficult.
Oh, yeah. And like it's like you said, it's hard to come out with it. And like it's hard to tell your friends. It's yeah. hard to tell the people around you, especially if they're like friends that you met in school and yep. they're succeeding. You're like, damn it, they're okay. I'm not. What's yep. going on? Is something wrong with me?
Yes.
And how is that fair? How is it fair that generations and generations of young people are constantly asking if there's something wrong with him?
I know, and that hurts my heart so much because I just want everybody, but young people especially, to know that the way you are is fine. Even if yes. you're in a period in your life where you are unhappy, it is a part of the process. Even if you are in a period where you look at yourself and you are like, I'm not happy with what I see. I'm not, you know, I feel like there's this idea of like, oh, just get on with it. You know yeah. what I mean? Or, oh, you'll be fine. Just be happy.
So true.
And it's just like, no, don't get on with it. Like, you have to go deeper into what the issues are. But even in your lowest moments, you are deserving of unconditional love.
Yes.
And the hard lesson in this life, though, is that unconditional love really has to come from yourself.
Yes.
And it doesn't
yes.
mean that other people aren't going to love you or you're not going to have friends.
No.
But the most important source of love is you. Comes from within.
Yes. And like, I love that all your posts are about that. Like, it's about your authentic self. Because it's like, if one thing I've learned is, yeah, other people can love you, you know, your parents, your partner, your siblings, you know, they love you. But if you don't love yourself even a little bit, you know, even a little bit, you're not gonna actually see who you are.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And so like, even like, there's so many people out there, people that are related to me actually, where it's like I can ask them, do you love yourself, and they will pause, right? Like there's like a pause in that question, whereas like you ask a five-year-old, do you love yourself, and they'll be like, yeah, I love myself. Aww. And it's like, hell yeah, they do. And that's what I'm saying, like, you're so right that you have to know yourself a bit. Like, you yeah. have to sit down in the quiet moments and get to know yourself.
Yeah.
Because how many times do we go out there and like, you know, an interviewer will tell us, oh, you're too aggressive.
Yeah.
You're too talkative. You're too this, you're too that. How do you know that? We met like 5 minutes ago. How do you know that?
Oh my goodness. You know what, that is so true. And that makes me think about how often in life you are set up for somebody to judge you.
Oh,
because
so
I'm just
true.
Thinking about in school, it's like when you're in school, it's like, okay, you're being graded, you're being called on. If you don't know the answer, you feel like something's wrong with you, mm-hmm. or you didn't listen, or you're not learning the right way. And then when you start working and you get a job, it's like you go in for an interview and you put, you know, I feel like we're taught like, oh, am I good enough for this job? But what about, is this job going to provide you with the things that
yes,
you need?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, does this job really have the kind of culture that is necessary for you to thrive
and grow
mm-hmm. you know, so and I true. Don't mean to sound complainy, like, oh, you should walk through life thinking me.
No, but I do think
that we have created a culture that sets it up where you are constantly thinking, oh, am I good enough?
Yes.
Am I good enough for this? Am I good enough to get the grade? Am I good enough to get the job? Am I good enough to have the partner? Am I good enough to have all of these things? Instead of realizing, like, this is a multi, we're in an intersection, okay? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. all of us need to pause, let the other person go. Is this person coming? That might be too abstract of a metaphor, but you need to also think about, is the space that I'm entering in healthy for me?
Yes. Oh, so true. Like, I love that statement, am I enough? Like, it was all over the place during 2020, right? Because like so many people were going through so many different things, which I have so much respect for. And when you ask that question, am I enough? Like, the point isn't to ask everyone around you, it's to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, let me say it this way. Nobody else gets to determine whether you're enough or not. If you have that question, it's not about whether or not you're enough. Do you want the job? Do you want to be with this person?
Yeah.
Do you want to be friends with them? Like, ask yourself what you actually want, because your intuition is going to tell you what you need.
Ooh.
And that's normally what you want. So, I mean, because like,
I will say though, sometimes what you want is different than what you need.
Agreed. Exactly. Which is why I was like, you know, take a pause. Because again, you're like Nicole said, your intuition is there, but you have to fucking listen.
Yep.
Like, you have to listen. Like, there are going to be things that you don't want to do that you have to do to get to your intuition.
Yeah.
And one of those things is sitting with these nasty emotions and feeling them.
Yep.
Like, one thing that I have been, you know, really noticing recently is people aren't very good with grief.
Yeah.
They're not able to process grief. And why is that? Because society acts like, when someone dies, it's taboo.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's the cycle of life. And I want to feel the excitement and the love and the sadness that I feel when I think of this person.
Yeah.
So if I'm not sad all the time, that's not because I'm not sad, but it's because whatever I feel for this specific person is coming out like this.
Yeah.
And to judge me or to assume that I don't feel anything is not your place.
Isn't it? That's amazing how much we judge, because we do. We even judge when people are in grief.
Yeah.
Oh, she's not crying enough, or he's not crying enough.
Why do you get to determine how much enough crying is enough for me or you or the next person?
Or maybe it was a really beautiful process. Maybe you knew the death was coming up and it was like, wow, there's sorrow here, but it was so beautiful to witness this person's journey. And honestly, I feel like if we heard more stories about that, we would just be more comfortable in life, because I feel like we're always trying to escape death, but it's like, everyone's gonna die.
Or beat it. Like, beat it, like, in the sense of like, oh my God, I have to do all this before. And it's like, guys, you may want to do all those things, but what do you need to do? Like, what's good for you?
Yeah.
And so it's just, I think, you know, the negative emotions in life, I think instead of focusing on the stuff they teach you in school now, people should be focusing on, is this child ready for the next level? Is this child telling me that they're happy, telling me that they're sad?
Yeah.
What kind of emotions are they letting out? Like, really be perceptive to each human.
Yeah.
And like, I completely admire the fact that you're able to sit with yourself. Like, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Same with you, girl.
Because it takes time to get there.
It does.
It takes time. It's like, you know, when I was angry as a kid, like, I was angry all the time, like I said. But when I was able to sit with myself, it didn't matter who made me angry. The point is, I was angry.
Yeah.
And I got to sit with myself and understand it. And sometimes the people who make you angry will make it seem like your process is stupid. And it's not.
Yeah.
It's what works for you.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to, again, the people closest to you sometimes will struggle to understand you, and that's okay.
I know. Yep. That's so true. Because when you are close with somebody, they're used to you seeing you or experiencing you in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when you start to change, they're like, wait a minute, that's
not how the reaction was.
Yeah. And a part of it is just like, oh,
it's comfort.
Yeah. And it's also like an adjustment of like, oh, let me begin to understand this new version of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what healthy relationships are about. Like, oh, this person has changed. Let me begin to understand this version of exactly. this person.
No, and that's, I think that's a beautiful thing, right? Yeah. I think being able to find a partner who's willing to try to understand you, even in these different stages, is also a blessing.
Yeah.
But expecting them to is not fair, right? Like,
yeah.
letting them process on their own time is also important. Yeah. Which is like what, you know, I've, you know, learned over the years. It's like, you know, I may process grief a certain way, but my partner processes in his own way.
Yeah.
So it's important to respect that because, again, a lot of people around you will say, this is how grief is.
Yeah.
This is how you feel it. Yeah. And it's like, no. That's not the point here. Like, it doesn't make me any less emotional if I don't cry in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to cry in private.
Ooh, yes. And you that know? Can be said for a lot of things,
oh, yeah.
which we can talk about that on another day. But I just want to like highlight real quick, especially when it comes to relationships.
Yes.
I feel like there's something about relationships where there's this idea of like how we show up in the world in public. People get to determine your relationship. But like, no, relationships are so, like, they're moving parts.
And yeah,
so,
they're like flowing water.
Yeah. Right. And so how a couple, first of all, partners, couples go through different seasons.
Of course.
So how we are in this season may not be how we are next season. Mm-hmm. Also, the way we are in public may be very different from the way that we are at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, let's stop trying to, like, prove something to the outside world.
Yes, agreed.
And also let's stop judging people by what we see, thinking that we know the entirety of what it is.
Yes, like that was perfectly said. Like don't look at a couple and assume, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
No, you don't know what it is. Just because you saw them like this now does not mean that's how they are when they're in private.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, which is so true, is when you go into a relationship, there's one thing I feel like everyone needs to accept, and that's change.
Yeah.
Oof. You're going to fucking change. Like, you may have, like, known this person for forever, but I'm going to tell you that the person they were 10 years ago is not the person they are now.
Yeah.
No matter how much they want to believe it, it's not.
Yep.
And it's not.
Facts.
Well, I mean, the number of times I've heard, I haven't changed. My love, but you have, like, and I've also said it. I'm guilty of saying it, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm, because I don't want to be proven wrong, I'm guilty of saying I don't do that. I'm not like that. I didn't do that 10 years ago. I didn't do it now. That's not true. I totally am a different person. Let me tell you something. Every 7 years, except your brain cells, all your cells regenerate. So you don't have a single cell that's the same that was 7 years ago.
Yep.
So emotions are the same and your brain is the same. Like, you know, I'm sure everyone has seen what a brain looks like. You've seen the brain emoji. Our brains, the folds, they change every year because of all the experiences you went through every year. So to tell yourself you haven't changed is an injustice to yourself.
Facts. Yeah. Yeah.
So I completely love transformations and they scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like,
yeah.
When I know that something is happening inside of me, I'm like shit scared.
Yeah.
Because they're like, when closer to like when I was younger, I had way more panic attacks. But as I got older, I was able to sit with myself, and the best place I sat with myself was in my car. Let me tell you. My car, me and her, her name is Daenerys. She does not work well anymore, but I'm going to keep her no matter what my partner says. She's my girl. Like, she has seen, like, happy Agni, sad Agni, lowest of low Agni. And it's just like, the safety of her was what gave me the confidence to scream or to, sometimes I would punch the steering wheel because I had, like, I didn't know how to let it out.
Yeah.
But as time went on, I learned to other ways to let it out, whether it was to breathe, whether it was to, you know, just walk around a little bit, just let the steam off.
Yeah.
But I was able to understand myself better. And I think the most important thing of transformations is you're getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucking awesome.
And the new version of you. Yes. And that's something that maybe we can expand on later, because I think it might start raining. But
how poetic.
I know, right?
We know we're already great. Thank you so much. hasn't started raining yet, but no. If it does, we know that we're on the right path.
When you transform, there's more space.
Yes.
And there's a new you. And so sometimes on the other side of that transformation, it can also be scary, because mm-hmm. you're like, wait a minute. I am like I even thought that today. I like said something to Halo, my dog. And I don't know what it was about what I said, but I was just, it just came out in a different way. The way that I said it came out in a new energy. And I was like, whoa, I still have to get to know this person. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like, I'm getting older, I'm getting more confident, and I'm embracing that. And it's just like, oh, this is cool, but it also makes me a little nervous, because who is this person?
And what is on the other, who's on the other side?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that unknown is also kind of beautiful, right? Like yeah. feeling the idea of like, oh, there's still like, I can still surprise myself. Like, you know, like it's like almost, I tell myself it's like a that. Cute thing to have, you know, like, oh, I can surprise myself. I am still fucking awesome, but you know, I'm still cute like this. So like, I think it's important that you're acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of people don't do. They don't acknowledge the fact that, oh my, I'm changing. Like there's parts yeah. of me that are changing. And you've come to a point where you can sit with yourself and learn about the change. Mm. Be afraid of it, but also learn about it.
Yeah.
Because I also think fear is a healthy emotion. Like I think it's important to be afraid of the unknown, but not so afraid that you never go to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
love that.
Yeah. Makes me happy. You. Yes.
I love you so much. You make so much wisdom. You too, boo. Like,
it's been a long 2 weeks.
It has. Like, it has.
Nick, where are you? Dude.
By the time this comes out, he will have been back.
He will, yeah.
And I will be so happy.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening. This is Create Your Own Mist with Nicole and
Agni.
And we will see you next time.
Yes. Bye.